Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age.
So, my first sermon as the vicar of the Good Shepherd. Yeah, and it means I'm going to set out the stall for the rest of the time I'm here. So, I hope people, and I tell them how many different jobs I've done in my very short life because I'm very young. They often say, how did you fit it all in? And I say, well, it's because I started working when I was 13, because my mum, sitting in the fourth row over there, forced me into work. I'll tell that story enough. But it's not just because of that, it's because I have loved working, because it's given me independence. As a teenager, I didn't have to ask my mum for money, I didn't have to do much of telling them where I was, because I had my own independence, my own money, my own life. The change is we've reorged a lot. And I apologize to all of you who, some of you may be people who are the people who do the reorganizations in organizations. And I'm sure you are really good at it. And sometimes when I've been in reorgs, what's happened is it's been for a really good reason. It's made us better at what we've done. And sometimes, most of the time, it has caused anxiety, it has caused stress and pain. And it is made the working environment really hard. We have how everything should run, and we should know the behavior policy would be ramped up in the beginning of term to be loosened as everyone ran out of time and patience as we went. Working in a charity sector, it felt like we had new vision and values almost every other week. Made for me as the manager in a team and told doing. So why do I tell you that? It's funny because as you get a new leader in any organization, there is excitement and there's anxiety. People told me about this thing called a honeymoon period, but because I've been here for 3 years already, I think that ran out about 18. I think, and my hope is, that my new role wasn't a sneaky way for me to come in and start doing new things. All of a sudden, everything's going to change. This community has been here long before I have. My grandmother, who was a faithful Anglican, many of you have seen so many leaders come in this place and go. I am a leader here, but unlike, I'll come to that in a bit. In our reading, we see the vision and a model given by Jesus to his disciples. And the word disciple here isn't, just follower, someone who kind of ties on and gets told what to do. It's apprentice. It's someone who learns from the master craftsperson. It's apprentice. To change our attitude about what we think when we hear disciple. And I am not, as I was told by the bishop, the master craftsperson. I'm not Jesus. And the bishop did say something about you guys being sheepdogs in my in my dress. I think we gloss over that. I don't like that analogy. And she got incarnate with us. Do we do this? Like any good organization, on our website, you will find a. It's under us. I'm sure you all would say a vision that was set out a long time ago here by many people working hard to run this community, to be in this community. The vision there is to share the good news of God's love for all. And under that, we have some all statements. All are welcome. We are an inclusive church. People are being included in this, that we are multi-tiered. Each one of you means lots of bits. All space to grow into generational community where our teenagers, our young people, our children, our middle-aged people, our 20-year-olds, our olders, all work together. And that's why our teenagers have just left, because they've gone to go and get milk for after the service. Not because of my sermon. One of them was my son, because I talked to him afterwards. We're all called to serve. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a part to play. It is integral. We all find a place to belong. We're committed to God and to one another. We are interconnected. And we all reach out. We respond to the needs in our community with the love of God. And that's, we're intentional. We look, we see, we our community, not just in this side, everywhere we go, all the bits of where we live. So, me as the vicar, Nothing has changed. These vision statements it's because often we try and use analogy with the Trinity to understand what it is, or metaphor. So yesterday, and those who volunteers were here again, and I was talking to them, and Jean Parker, who gave me a really amazing metaphor. Jean, who's a musician, who's played the organ here for many years, saw the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bit of an organ, a place of music that needs multiple voices. And you pull out the stops on the organ, different ones. And as you play, three different voices happen, all in unison, all together, different, all apart, all interwoven. And intermingled. It was really heartfelt. It was like any metaphor or analogy, it will have its problems as we're trying to explain God, infinite, amazing, knowable, infinitely knowable, with words that just don't quite cut it. My analogy that I used with the youth group was three books, the same book, but three different editions. First edition, the hardback illustrated one, and the softback, the paperback. All the same words, all the same meanings, differently given to us, differently engaged with. Again, it may help, but I am sure with enough logic, you can see my heresy. And the kids certainly did pull me apart when we did this session. Often we try to capture this infinitely knowable God in a way that is all about trying to find a perfect analogy, a perfect way of seeing God. And I don't think it's possible, not in our lifetime. I think God is infinitely knowable, so infinitely knowable that we're going to spend our whole lifetime as apprentices working out knowing. And the best thing about it is we're all going to bring a different way of knowing as we are together, as we talk to each other, as we build life together, as we mingle, we snatch moments where we talk about God, how we engage with life, what do we do with it? And in that, we get the knowable God. But it comes from a bit each one of us brings. In the Great Commission, as we heard in the Gospel, we are called to share our apprenticeship journey with others. And who are we sharing about? The master craftsperson, the infinitely knowable God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The divine dance of integral relationship that meets in one God, in different ways, that we will spend our lifetimes as apprentices getting to know the infinitely knowable God. So may this truth lead you to deeper worship of the great God who has revealed themselves to us in the love of unity, and may the vision and values that we encompass as a community be shined out through our journey.